1 o'clock hour on a Monday. It is Cody and Gold. Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. We'll get into what Travis Kelce had to say about a rookie entering his first season and how teams are going to approach him. I thought it was just kind of interesting how teams might decide to play that particular player and how teams maybe game plan for offenses in the NFL. That's coming up in just a little bit. Hope you guys are having a great Monday after the holiday weekend. If you missed it, we announced the Wittesons. It's officially sanctioned by the Royals. It is our fan club that we have started Bobby Witt Jr. The Royals are about it. Bobby Witt Jr. likes the name, likes the logo and all that, we are told. And on Sunday, we're kicking this thing off officially with a Bobby Witt Jr. look-alike contest outside Kauffman Stadium before their game on Sunday. And
we're the judge.
Right before the Mets game, we are the senior Wittesons, and we will be judging the look-alike contest. More details to come on that, but you want to get out there Sunday. Maybe you already got a mullet. Then you're already in great shape. If not, barbers are going to be out there. Have some more of these mullets.
To cut yours into a mullet. They'll have some of the wigs, I believe, as well.
Yeah.
We'll have some, yeah.
If you're watching on the video stream today, or if you're not, you should at least check it out once today. We've got the crown. We've got the mullets. We've got the sunglasses.
I feel like I look like an 80s pro wrestler in this outfit. Is that like a bad way to look at it?
I don't know what I look like, Cody. I don't know what. Once I get the stash and goatee later this week, maybe we'll be closer to Bobby.
Do you want me to try to shave mine like that, too?
There'll be nothing there. We've gone through this with you. There'll be nothing there.
I once did the whole
month.
It'll
be peach fuzz.
And it was starting to look a little bit like a beard.
You have a week.
We've been in the works for this for a while. I probably shouldn't have been thinking about my facial hair then. Someone said, how do we come up with the term Wittesons? One, we wanted to be the senior Wittesons. Mm-hmm. Two, we liked the name Wittesons and ran it by some of the people that we want to also like it, like Bobby Witt Jr. He liked it. And also,
it's not trademarked.
Because I don't want to get threatened by LeBron James lawyers.
Yeah.
It's the combination of those three things.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And it makes sense.
We like it.
The Wittesons.
And if you see on our socials, you'll see what some of the logo stuff works, some of the gear that will be available for it and all that stuff. You'll see why. It looks really great in some of the gear and the other stuff. I think everybody just knows. The Royals know. Baseball knows. People, Bobby, you know, like, more support for a superstar that's in your town. Mahomes gets a lot of support. There's no secret in there, right? He is an all-time player. He is a superstar. He gets the support. Bobby gets a lot of support from you guys in town. We feel like it could be more. For little things, even. Like, going back to the All-Star game voting and all that other stuff, which we'll talk about more. But that is definitely, absolutely a part of it.
Meanwhile, this will be one of many reports that are out there about potential targets, either that the Royals are selling or buying. The Athletic's Ken Rosenthal over the holiday weekend reported that the Royals are interested, while he admitted talks have not intensified yet, but are interested in Pirates veteran outfielder Brian Reynolds. For those that don't know who he is, 30 years old. He just signed a $100 million contract not too long ago. There's still $80 million on his deal. He's 30. This thing runs all the way until I think he's 37 years old by the end of the deal, or maybe 36 by the end of the deal. So for starters, does that intrigue you at all? Because for me, we've been clear on this. I think you're pretty much on the same page too, which is, hey, if they're going to make a trade, it needs to be about next year.
And if it happens this year, but
if it happens to help you this year, great, right? Brian Reynolds would be that. But I don't think we should downplay the fact we're talking about $80 million here. That is a massive amount of money to say we are committing to, unless the Pirates are going to eat some of that.
Or not ask for a lot of compensation back in the prospect.
Yeah, depending on how much money you're taking on, will obviously
they're
change.
They're a bad franchise. They might take less
change
prospects.
The prospect. Yeah, I don't know, right? But $80 million is not nothing to take on for the next 5 or 6 years. So that would be my only hesitation with it. But is he someone that could help them a little bit this year and hopefully for the next 3 years or more? Yeah, I think there's a possibility there, but I'll be honest. When I see 5+ years of control at $80 million, that scares the hell out of me.
I love it. I honestly think it might be a perfect trade partner, perfect trade fit, perfect player that they need. The only fear I have, which is a reasonable one, is he is 30 and he is having his career worst year. And I remember we've had a lot of, oh, they're coming off their career worst year conversations around hitters that eventually came to Kansas City. And instead, we tried to look at the back of the baseball card for guys like Hunter Renfroe or other guys. We're like, oh, their history say they're a good ball player. And we run into a trap where we find out not so much. Brian Reynolds has been a more consistent ball player than Reynolds. He's only, or than Renfroe.
For sure.
He is a career 275 hitter with a 350 on base. I will not blame the Royals for continuing to try to target players who get on damn base because it's what they need more than anything else. I actually think they have run producers. Vinny, Bobby, so I think these guys can produce runs. Their problem offensively the last 3 years has centered around the idea that there's never anyone on base. Nobody walks.
Yeah, I would want to know. Nobody. For, you know, I'm intrigued by the years of control. The dollar amount scares me. That's why I would have to know, all right, is it requiring my number two prospect in Blake Mitchell? Is it not going to require him because you're eating the money? Are they going to take on $25 million of it or whatever? Like, I don't know, right? The different scenarios would change my thinking on this. Can he help this baseball team for the next couple of years? Absolutely, I think he could. But that is a significant commitment. Remember, $80 million, this past offseason when they failed to go out and get an outfielder. We know they were in on Profar. We know they were in on Santander or whatever up in Toronto now and all that. This $80 million, if that's actually what they took on in this trade hypothetical, that Ken Rosenthal,
highest contract I think they'd ever.
But it would be more money than what they were trying to work out with Santander and for Profar. Mm-hmm. That's my only hesitation. Like, are they really, wait, they're willing to do this? Now, part of
sustained
it would be,
success, 5 years of control. I understand. You could always trade him.
Versus
two
or three.
You don't
actually
owe him the 80. If he performs for you for 2 years, he could be gone in 2 years.
He could
It's an infinitely tradable contract. Just as long as he's not a dumpster fire as a player.
Well, and there's always risk with any move, right? There's always risk.
Yeah.
I'm not 100%. Like, I think there's some people on the text line that are dead set 100% no. I'm not 100% no. I would just need to know more on what am I giving up and the financials. Am I giving up the two prospect and I'm eating the and I'm taking on the $80 million? You know, guys with control are not cheap. We know this, right? And he has more than just 2 years of control. He's got like five plus years of control.
The only difference is the Pirates hate themselves so much, they might just be willing to be like, we don't want to be on the hook for this $80 million. We got to do anything to not be on the hook for this $80 million. As you pointed out, that $100 million contract is the single biggest deal they've ever offered to anyone. They haven't topped it since. They continue to cheap out on players. They've never spent any money on any kind of star. Maybe they'll break the mold with Skeens the way the Royals finally broke the mold when they paid Bobby Wood Jr. Because to that point, their highest contracts were Alex Gordon and Salvador Perez. So I get it, but I still don't think that's an organization that's looking to spend. So they might be more willing to get rid of the money than ask for a haul back in return. Look, maybe there's some other team out there who's willing to do both because they don't care about the money. So they'll eat the money and give up a better prospect than Kansas City's willing to give up. The question really I would ask of that is, how high are you willing to go? And by how high, I mean, are you willing to give up Blake Mitchell or Carter Jensen? Because anything below that, I actually don't think you and I should be having much of a discussion.
Right.
And I think that's a deal I'd make. You know, like pretty much anyone outside of that number, I'm probably willing to move. It's those two where I kind of get hung up because of Salvador Perez's age, the level of prospect that they are. Carter Jensen's starting to hit homers in AAA now. The value of the position is kind of like tight end in football, all of those things.
Yeah. And look, they have more on the scouting end than obviously we ever would. I would, you know. Yes, his numbers show what this year just an outlier, or is this the sign of the dip and the Pirates getting out the right time? And that's the scary thing about the move here with how many, like on one hand, you're like, oh, I love it. There's tons of years of control. On the other hand, that's what's scary is because if this is what he is right this second, is now who he's going to be down the road.
3 years can only go so bad. Five can go bad, bad.
That's the scary thing, I think, with this particular move. And he's probably playing, what, left field for you?
Yeah, probably.
He's not the best defender in the world. He's not like Kyle Isbell's a better defender than he is.
Sure.
Not even close.
Yeah. But
so
also,
I understand you're getting him for the bat, but still, like, is he a liability in left field? I don't know about that.
I don't know. Like, they've had a bad defensive year, the Royals. I don't think they've been as good on defense as they should be or as good in the base running as they should be. But I'll still take the trade.
He's a negative 0.7 war player this year.
I'll tell you this. I'd feel a lot worse about it if I thought Jack Caglione was also going to struggle in right field. And to be honest, he's looked fine. He's looked more than comfortable in right field with a chance to be much better than that as he spends more time out there. I'd be more worried about it if he just looked lost out there like he had two left feet.
Yeah, the question is, like, is Brian Reynolds going to give you four more years of the career war player of 18.9? Or is the negative 0.7 in 2025 what you're about to see for another 4 or 5 years?
I told you.
And that's the dilemma that you would have, and obviously they have to make the tough decision on that. And let me point out again, Ken Rosenthal said the Royals are interested, but talks have not intensified. We don't know if this is like their number one target. It's just that was an interesting name that came up.
It's a name that they've kicked around. My exact comp for him, not defensively, is I think he's David DeJesus.
I was like, definitely not defensively, because David DeJesus was way better defensively.
But I think that's the kind of player you're getting offensively. Like, I just think if you look at his career, what you're getting offensively is David DeJesus. David DeJesus, how about this? I went through his age 30 season, because that's how old Reynolds is.
Yeah.
Through his age 30 season, what did you say the war is?
For? 18 point something.
18.1 for David DeJesus. Yeah. It is identical. He's
And what was DeJesus from 31, 32, 33, 34?
289 hitter, 360 on base, slightly worse OPS. They're borderline identical offensive players, which is something they could desperately need. Now, if you're saying, yeah, you're right, what did David DeJesus' years 30 through 35 look like? That's when he retired. So like that, that wrote out the end of his career. He was for the final five seasons, he was a 5.3 war player. His batting average dipped from 289 to 248. His on base dropped to 330 from 365. And his OPS dropped from 789 to 715. So he was worse, but he was also
not a bad baseball player. You can make points on both sides of it, why they should be intrigued. I also think you can make the control argument is also what makes it a little scary on top of it. That's all.
Now people are just taking shots at Zumi over there. They're saying they don't want any hitter near. Still,
you know where I stand on that.
Yeah, you've made
this
it clear.
This team needs a new hitting coach. Maybe they'll do it in the offseason. They're clearly not doing it in season.
Somebody just taking a shot. Let me see if I can find this. 8 minutes ago, Bobby Witt Jr. is not having an all-star year. He shouldn't be on the team. Garcia having an improved year for himself, but so many other third basemen are having better seasons. Bubic is the only legit all-star, and even he has faltered of late from the 785.
I mean, there's a stronger argument that Bobby Witt Jr. should be starting the All-Star game than whatever the texter said about them not being on the All-Star team at all. What are we doing? He's also got double the war of Jacob Wilson.
See, this is why we need the witnesses.
and Jacob Wilson, I think Bobby's like eight singles away from having the exact same average of Jacob Wilson. So it's just funny. Because the team's not performing as well, we're trying to... like, is Bobby Witt Jr. having an MVP season? No. No.
Can you imagine if he wasn't on the team?
What's that?
Can you imagine if he wasn't on the team?
Like, no,
I'm not talking about the Royals.
He's talking about the All-Star team.
No. I'm talking if he wasn't on the Royals, how bad would this team be?
Bobby Witt Jr.
in particular, because nobody's doing anything.
Bobby Witt Jr. currently ranks as the fifth most valuable player in baseball. Yeah. He is currently as valuable, according to all the advanced metrics, as Shohei Ohtani. You're trying to tell me that guy doesn't deserve to be an all-star because he's not hitting 330, he's hitting 290?
This goes back to the whole Whittison thing, Gold.
This is why we're here. This is our job as senior Whittisons, to pass on the gospel, to let people know that he's a superstar. He's a superstar. The batting average number is the only number that's decidedly different.
And again, it is like five, I don't know.
It's 11
hits. It's like 11 singles or whatever it is. Away from having the identical batting average, he just got off to such a ridiculous start. And then we factor in the defensive and base running, and it's not even close who the better baseball player is. So
the Royals
are
better than the A's, correct?
What's that?
The Royals are better than the A's currently, correct?
Yes.
Record-wise?
Overall record, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. They obviously got swept by the A's last time they played, but yes. Yeah.
Baseball doesn't work that way. Yeah. It's not a head-to-head sport. You can't be like, we beat you in the season series. We're a better team.
He was just asking,
162 games certainly wouldn't do it. What are the Royals, 5.5 games out of a playoff spot?
Five and a half out and five under.
How about a five-game winning streak starting tonight? Announce the Whittisons.
Knock them out. Let's go.
Five-game winning streak starting tonight. Then we all get Bobby Wood Jr. haircuts on Sunday. Everybody enters the Bobby Wood Jr. look-alike contest. Moods change. Everyone feels better. They go on a five-game winning streak. I'll guarantee you a song by Friday. Wait, they can't get five by Friday. I'll guarantee you one by Monday. Maybe four-game winning streak. Would that be acceptable enough? Whatever gets it done. The A's are the second worst team in the American League. I can't ever forget about the White Sox, who are dramatically better than they were last year. I'll give them. Didn't they win like 30?
They are. Yeah, congratulations.
They just recently beat the Rockies in a series. I believe took three or four.
Wow, the toilet bowl.
Bink was texting me about that series. I'm dead serious. Bink sent me a text message about the Rockies and the White Sox series.
Sometimes it's fun to watch.
Bink likes watching bad baseball, apparently.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
All right, let's get to what Travis Kelce had to say. It's kind of just an interesting football conversation. He was discussing Travis Hunter, who we all know was one of the top picks in this past year's draft. He can play on offense. He can play on defense. Nobody knows for sure exactly what the breakdown of snaps are going to be, how many offensive snaps with Liam Cohen in that offense in Jacksonville, and then, of course, on the defensive side of the ball. But he's going to have a strong case, I'm sure, by the end of the season for offensive or defensive rookie of the year, and how people vote on him will be very interesting. But Kelce was talking about how he thinks teams are going to match up against him and if Travis Hunter will be good, basically.
Do you think he's going to be good in the NFL?
Hell
and
yes.
That's a hard question to ask because you're still active.
100%.
But like, what's the expectation
world,
of this
world
kid?
Class
all pro, both sides?
Both sides? See, that's the thing. I don't know how they're going
to it's crazy
divvy
to
it out. I don't know if, because teams are going to be going after him. If he plays corner, they're going to run deep balls at him all day. They're going to run the wide receivers just take off on him all day just to try and get his like him tired.
Get him tired. It's different in the NFL, but like this is what he did in college. Now it's just a whole different animal in the NFL. And that's where I could see him playing just on special packages on offense. And he plays more on defense than he does on offense.
I actually think this was really smart by Travis and speaks to just like his football intelligence, but also why we all have to wait and see if it'll work with Travis Hunter the way it worked in college. Because he's right. NFL teams who are faster, stronger, run more plays, run faster offenses, run more up-tempo, they are going to do what he says. They're going to take one guy on him, and they're going to make him run sprints for the game. Your job sprints. Bad news, because we're not going to risk. And honestly, I don't think they'll do that until he proves himself as an offensive player. But if he starts getting catches on you two in a game, Gold, and he's beating you more than one way, he can cover and he's deflecting passes and he's catching third down routes. Well, let's take him out of half of this thing. People avoid corners all the time anyway. By running a guy deep against him all the time, you're essentially just saying, we're not going to throw at Travis Hunter very often. And that's fine. But we're also going to eliminate his ability to get us in the passing game the way other corners are never, ever, ever doing. It's good strategy. And if Travis is saying that already, you know that some teams have thought about it.
Well, you know that some teams have thought of it, but also that means the Jags are well aware of that possibility. So what's their pivot? You know what I mean? It's not like you think Liam Cohen's not going to be caught off guard if teams are going to approach that way. But what's their answer to that? Is it that he's not on the field defense? Are they going to sub him out defensively more than you would normally see a corner? Or are they just going to have design packages on offense and try to really be careful, especially early on? Does it matter? You know, you're playing in Jacksonville, humidity, all kinds of stuff early in September. You know, versus later in the year when it's colder, is that actually going to be the same mentality? I don't know. Yeah, it's fascinating to see. It's why when we've talked about the rookie of the year markets, you know, I think he could be just okay on offense, but if he's really good on defense, if that scenario presents itself, people are going to vote for him on offense, even though it's the defense that makes it impressive. Does that make sense? Like there's an offensive and defensive rookie of the year award. They're separate, but
there's
a better chance
to win both because he plays both.
Yeah. I don't think voters are going to separate the two. They're going to give him more benefit on his offensive rookie of the year case.
Yep.
Because he's playing defense.
Yeah. He has 700 yards receiving, but if he also played all-pro corner, yes, they're not going to care.
Although I would argue, they just vote him defensive rookie of the year, but that's not how voters are probably going to think.
It is very interesting that the Chiefs also play the Jaguars.
They do.
So Travis saying this, I mean, we could have Xavier Worthy versus Travis Hunter. I think that, you know, that could be deep ball from a home. It's like in terms of like spiciness. I think that makes the matchup a little bit more interesting to follow.
He's the most interesting rookie in the league this year. Because we just don't, it's like when Shohei came up. I've never seen an NFL player play two-way full-time. I've seen Deion Branch take a snap at corner or whatever over the years, right? We've seen defensive players who have a skill set who manage to touch the ball every once in a while. But like the NFL, it's such a fast game, such a physical game. The fact, like honestly, credit to him, the fact that in college he was able to stay healthy the entire time while playing both sides of the football is crazy. Crazy in football. And I guess the larger question I would ask the Jags is, let's say this means his career is only 8 to 10 years instead of 12 to 13. Is 8 to 10 years of him playing or 7 to 8 years, is it worth both way football for 7 to 8 years if you would have gotten a 12-year defensive player?
I think so. Also, I would wonder as if, you know, let's say he's 28 or 29, there's a chance, like, I don't know if he's doing this his entire career anyway. Like, you're just talking about, like, his career being over, but I also wonder if he's a two-way player for the first half of his career, and then he's not that, and there's just an adjustment at that point. Like, when he's 30, I doubt he's going to be able to play offense and defense.
If you were to guarantee it, I think, because I know it's different because it's this guy just played defense, but Luke Kuechly played, what, 7 to 8 years? I mean, that was all he played, but it was, like, all pro every single season. Yeah. If you were getting...
If it's that level of play, it's probably worth it.
Yeah, if you were getting major production on both sides of the ball, then I would say, yeah.
But if it's average play on both sides of the ball and you could have gotten average play for 5 more years, would you have preferred it?
Probably.
And the truth is, if you're the Jags, what do you care? How many players play 12 years or 10 years? Let's just say it's the difference between 4 and 5 years and 7 and 8. It's like more often than not, a player doesn't stay with a team that long in the NFL anyway. That's kind of a rare case. So it's kind of like running backs. You burn them out. it's more likely to be the next team's problem than your own problem.
Especially now where they have they paid Trevor Lawrence. Like, now is the time that you want Travis Hunter to be as good as he can be and help in all those ways anyways, you know?
I got to say, it's a little silly that we're just having these regular conversations dressed the way that we are, right?
I don't think it's weird at all, you know?
I think it's hilarious. You guys are talking about gout and Cody's knee dressed like this.
Talking insane. Travis Hunter, talking gout.
That was the most ridiculous of the conversations. I mentioned it to you guys over the break is how insane it is that you guys are talking about gout and Cody's knee wearing wigs, shades, and a crown. I think it's hilarious.
We can't have anything major happen. It can't be like sad news at a Hollywood.
Oh, I know. We'll have to take
I can't wear this.
Have to take the sunglasses and the crown off. Yeah.
Yeah. Just, you know.
Leave the wig on?
Can't reasonably do that. We'll have to make the adjustment if needed. Somebody says, I think in the video stream, it starts to look a little bit like we got beanies on, not crowns.
It looks like you guys are going snowboarding, in all honesty. Yeah. It looks like you guys could be going snowboarding.
Dude, it's, the hat hair, look at that. Your hair.
Woo! Let's go. Look,
yeah, that honestly
lose the crown. The wig's
better that way. I don't know. It's like I gotta adjust it a little bit. It just looks silly. I kind of like the crown.
The crown's after 4 hours. The crown's is a little heavy on the head there. But
yeah, I kind of look like I'm like kicking it with Joe Dirt a little bit.
Yeah,
but you know what?
You're ready to slam some beers.
We wanted our Bobby Wood Jr. wigs in order to make it work.
I'm gonna have to brush this wig out, I guess. You know?
Yeah, I think so. Under the crown a little bit. We've need to take a brush to it. High quality wig. I told you, exact same brand I got for the Creed is Good one. If this show knows anything, it's high quality wigs. You don't go cheap on a good wig, you know?
All right, up next, we will get to what's trending. Let's talk a little bit more about the all-star roster. We've been focusing on Bobby Wood Jr., but let's talk about Mikel Garcia and also one other Royals player that you and I both think maybe should have got a little more love for that. That's coming up next.
What's trending?
What's trending is presented by Baker University, where graduates earn higher salaries and land jobs faster than any other university in Kansas. Apply today at bakeru.edu. We start what's trending with the Royals, who are back after a winning road trip, a series win against the Arizona Diamondbacks. They're at it against the Pirates as they kick off a homestand tonight. 6:40 first pitch. Noah Cameron, yeah, on the bump. Vern's on deck show at 5:30. And throughout the week, hopefully the Royals can get some momentum out at Kauffman Stadium. We'll be there on Sunday for our first Wittesons event, the Bobby Wood Jr. Lookalike Contest, as we have launched the Wittesons Bobby Wood Jr. fan group. The Royals have sanctioned it as well. It's official.
Since we will be out there, just as a reminder for that, you're like, well, how do I win this Bobby Wood Jr. contest? I want to win the prizes associated with it. Yeah, of course you do. We will have barbers. Alex and I have arranged barbers to be on site to cut your hair like Bobby Witt Jr.'s to be a founding member of the Wittesons. So
yeah, we got some
other stuff, more
wigs.
Details to come. We might have some more merch and all this other stuff. We're trying to give you as much time as possible to get out there, but it's going to be a good time. Good time out on all week. Be out there and go support the Royals. Next up on What's Trending, the Nationals have fired their manager and their general manager, Rizzo and Martinez, are out. They've announced their interim manager, at least for now. What's interesting about that is Nationals are pretty much right where the Royals are, and we're expected to be right about where the Royals are. So I didn't want to turn it into the people who want to fire Q, but there are a couple of teams in baseball this year letting some guys go late. The difference here is it was the last year. It was the last year of the manager's contract anyway.
Yeah, Dave Martinez had an option in a week.
They weren't going to pick it up, and if you're not going to pick up the option in a week, you're pretty much telling them you're a dead man walking. The only difference is here now is if you just hadn't picked it up and maybe made the playoffs, you could have made a different decision. They go on a run. Maybe it's a Ned Yost year. You didn't have to fire him yet.
The week of the draft, too.
Yeah.
And I know most of the draft is
done. All your general manager work's already done. And your assistant, your interim general manager is just the assistant guy.
It is. And if you're like, well, not that he didn't make mistakes, but like James Wood, Dylan Cruz, some of these young top prospects that they have,
you want to come in here and be a scouting director?
Yeah.
I mean, maybe not. Or a co-scouting director. I'm not trying to get somebody else fired. But like, you know. Come on in. Take a look at some talent.
Next up on What's Trending, U.S. Men's National Team fell in the Gold Cup final last night to Mexico 2-1. This was really the last competitive match that they will play, and the rest will be friendlies at some point over the next calendar year as they gear up for the World Cup. I told you earlier, it's hard to take too much away from this when all of a sudden the roster is going to look drastically different for the World Cup. There's a couple bright spots, some guys that now probably earn some playing time in the World Cup, but Pulisic and some of the other top players didn't even participate in the Gold Cup. So we move on to the FIFA World Cup now.
I think that's probably fair. More than fair to say it, but it's also kind of disappointing. Feels like we should see the best players in the last competitive game they can be in before they play in a World Cup in the United States. But, you know, sometimes it just does not work out that way.
That is what's trending here on Cody Engel. Don't forget, if you're thinking about what to get for a late lunch or looking ahead to this evening as well, our friends over at 30 Hop, our lunch partner on Mondays, 30 Hop, new location just down the street from us over in Merriam, the Grand Station location, also out in Lee Summit. But they're your new go-to, an American bar and kitchen with bold flavors, local taps, expansive patio. Seriously, the patio is like one of my favorite features of all the restaurants that they have, especially the Merriam location. You stop in for lunch, stay for some happy hour, 30hop.com. Today, $5.99 classic burgers. $5.99 for a classic burger. Local beer, American Eats, big patio, 30 Hop. Drew was over there.
Drew,
what's
your you got a burger this week, and what'd your wife get?
The I have to look it up. I forget.
What kind of burger did you get? Just a, like a classic burger?
Yeah, I just got the classic, the one that they brought us. That was nice. Fantastic.
I just didn't know. I didn't know what your wife.
I don't remember what she got. She
I
got
want the yakisoba noodles.
Was it a noodle-y thing?
It was a noodle. Yeah, a noodle.
Big menu. Big menu over at 30.
Maybe it was the yakisoba noodles.
It might have been those.
You were a big fan.
I can't remember.
Someone says, wait, I thought you guys were saying the Wittes Sons. Now I heard the Wittes Inns, like citizens, would like to pull my previous objection to the name.
All right.
Wittes Sins.
We got another like, Wittes Inn.
Yes, citizens, but Wittes Sins.
That's why we're the senior Wittes Sins.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Get it?
Oh, my God.
That's what we're going
for. Can we offer out, like, discounts for other senior Wittesons?
Someone suggested official Wittesons identification cards.
I think that actually is a pretty sneaky good idea.
I liked the suggestion Wittesons over on Twitch earlier from cards. Scoob, who said that we should have super Wittesons, as in, like, you know, you're doing good things in the community. Or maybe just a good ball player. Maybe we could get this at youth baseball fields. It's for the nicest teammate, you know? Don't worry. The event we have this weekend is only one of many.
Yes.
We are planning on doing in order to launch this. The Royals have given us their blessing.
Yes.
Bobby Witt Jr. likes it. I am told likes it.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we were told as of today. He is a fan. So, like, if the Royals in Major League Baseball and Bobby Witt Jr. like it, get on board. Time to get on board with us. Plus, look how we dress. We spent 4 hours dressed like this to help pitch.
I'm impressed that you guys
Golden
went
is Bobby
show.
Witt Jr. jersey. I'm in the original Witt shirt from the road trip. We're in crowns. We've got the sunglasses. Somebody said they kind of like this look on you.
On me?
Yeah.
The crown or the mullet?
Just the whole look, you know?
The mullet.
I do think you're looking a little Joe Dirty once you take the... Take the crown off one more time?
It looks better already than... Yes, it looks great.
Dude, it looks awesome.
It looks great.
The goatee
great.
That you're going to grow by Sunday. I hope it comes in...
Yeah.
Whatever you got to do, man. Don't shave anything until Sunday morning.
I'm not. I should not have shaved this past week, and that was a mistake. But yeah, the mustache, a little soul patch goatee, I'm going to let it grow out, and I'll shave everything but that come Sunday morning for the contest. And maybe even leave it for Monday so you guys can see it for the show.
You need to borrow some chew from Bink, and then it'll be perfect.
Oh, I'm not going to do any chew, but I hear you.
Big league chew.
Big league chew.
Take a big dip of big league chew. You know? I was just given some for...
Some chew?
Some big league chew.
Oh.
Not actual chew, big league chew.
The pouch.
The pouch. The original bubblegum flavor.
That stuff was great.
That amazing.
Oh, dude, kids love
just,
it.
The flavor goes away after 10 seconds, so you just keep going. You know?
I was getting ready to play in another wiffle ball game before we got rained out.
That's right.
And so as a result of that, you know, they always give us like some snacks and some big league chew.
I was
like
talking to you guys off air. I was saying, even if I don't have, especially without the crown, should I just try to walk into the convenience store down the street? Should
100%.
I just walk in?
Like the, that? Yes. See if they think that's your real
and
look?
Take off the Witt jersey. So I'm just in normal clothes. Take the jersey off and just see what... And with the glasses, keep the glasses on the whole time. Because if I don't have the glasses on, I think I got to have the glasses on.
Can I ask a question? If you do this with the crown on, is that not a good photo to have as like the fifth photo on a dating profile?
I don't think
so. Doesn't it show that you're fun?
They're going to at least ask, what the hell is he doing?
Yeah, exactly. Four
so
photos
you're
that look
that
like
I
you.
Use this.
They think it's a Halloween
you, and look,
thing.
I'm not saying one of you in the studio. One of you at Kauffman Stadium, which a bunch of people dress like Witt, and you with that crown on and this outfit.
Oh.
I actually think that's a good fifth dating profile. They're interested enough that they're getting through more than one photo. The second to last photo is like, well, I got to know what's going on here.
Maybe it prompts the convo. Yeah, maybe it prompts the convo. That's true.
good conversations are.
But if they don't, know anything about sports, then they're gonna be like, "What the hell?"
But even then, they might be curious about why it is.
The wit is sense, but the wit, who's wit? I
think Cody makes a good point though that it makes you it gives off a fun vibe.
Yeah.
What about the wig?
I wear that all week.
I just wear this all week. Wherever I go.
You know, if you're really wherever I go. If we had the Whittison jersey so far, I'd say yes. Then it's just like you're just a walking advertisement, like a billboard for the Whittisons all week. Look, if I got to wear a crown everywhere,
You got pulled over and you're wearing the sunglasses and you're wearing all this.
Man. We got to ask somebody who's been
I should have sent this photo in for my Ted Lasso extra.
Yeah. Has anybody heard back on that?
No, I haven't. I think they found out, Cody, I was in the Hallmark movie, so they said too many roles for you recently. You're out.
I wonder if you would get, more roles or deny, would there be more intrigue for you in different roles if you sent a picture of that in?
More.
I agree.
No, because they don't want you as an extra with this, like, you stand out too much.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Your role might expand. All of a sudden, the page, I forget what it's called, the IMDb page might be necessary because you might be getting contacted.
What role am I going for with this? Joe Dirt, like Cody said? Am I going for a member of the Beatles? Like, what are we doing?
The new Days of Thunder, when they're going to make Days of Thunder, the reboot, you'll be somebody involved in
the,
you'll be
at the NASCAR race.
You'll be a pit crew member.
I'll just be the fan. They'll just cut away.
NASCAR.
I'll have the mellow yellow shirt on and I'll just be rooting on.
100%. They remake Days of Thunder. Yes. Gold's absolutely sending in this photo. As a fan in the stands extra.
All we need to get you. You need to grow out the mustache, and we need to get you
that
a
that can be done. And the stash growing out, it would not take me very long.
You need a dip, one of those Dale Sr. racing jackets, a good wrench racing jacket. It would be perfect.
Okay. Wrench racing jacket? Is that what you said?
No, good wrench.
Someone says I look like Steve from Stranger Things. I can see that a little bit right now.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah.
I can see what you mean by that.
That's not a bad comp.
Yeah, I hear you.
We're supposed to be dressed up like Bobby Wood Jr. We had these custom cut.
They were.
We had these cut like his hair so we could look
high quality
more
too.
Like Bobby Wood Jr. We had to go knock off some of the sunglasses. Bobby wants to send us some real Oakleys.
Nobody
I'm not
has to
no.
know that, Cody. Nobody knows to know that. We had to go cheap on the sunglasses.
Well, when you have a custom wig cut, you know, you got to cut a corner somewhere. Turns out I also didn't ask King Charles for a real gold crown.
That'd be a little heavy to wear. A little heavy to wear all day.
I'll figure it out. We got a real gold crown. I'll figure out a way to wear it. I'll wear it the rest of life. I guess I'm getting robbed. Probably in that case. Can't be just walking around with a real gold
crown. Are real diamonds on the crown, actually.
Real diamonds. Yeah, they're real. Take a little tester to them instead.
Yeah.
Let's talk a little bit about the All-Star game. Not as it relates to Bobby Wood Jr., at least for the moment. Although, again, to be clear, I think he should have been the starting shortstop, and not just because I'm in Kansas City. The only stat in which Jacob Wilson is a better player than Bobby Wood Jr. is singles, essentially. Batting average. That's it. There is no other stat that suggests he's a better baseball player this year, even. Not in totality. But the Royals obviously got two guys. Chris Bubich and Bobby Wood Jr. locks. Both very deserving All-Stars. Better than the years that they used to just get the one dude named Ken Harvey in, rather than that. But I do think that Estevez and Michael Garcia have a little bit of a gripe here. Michael's, I think, is bigger. The idea that Alex Bregman is the guy who got in instead of him, even though he hasn't played baseball since May 23rd. He hasn't played baseball in 6 weeks. There are plenty of people who thought Michael might fall off, might not maintain his level of play. He has. He deserves, for the year that he is having, to be an All-Star. I want it to be a reward for the guys who struggle in their career too, not just the stars. I'm going to say it can't be the stars. But players like Michael Garcia are exactly what I want the All-Star game to be for sometimes.
Look, he absolutely should be an All-Star. I think the fact that he is positionless, but by the way, it's a good thing overall. He can play everywhere. But positionless for this, for All-Star voting, it hurts him, you know, besides the small market stuff. And his name recognition is not great across baseball. It's just not. Baseball needs to be doing a great job of marketing these players because he's having an unbelievable season. He, to me, was the biggest snub. I still think Carlos Estevez should have been the All-Star closer. I understand he doesn't have the strikeout over nine numbers that Hader has, but he's right there with the most saves in all of baseball. His ERA is just a tad bit worse, and he's on a team that's under 500. Now, somebody would make the argument, well, they're in a bunch of close games, so he has more opportunities. But also the team is not scoring enough runs sometimes to
he's
give you a chance
save
to get save opportunities. And when he's blown his saves,
Two of them, I think, were in extra innings with the Ghost Runner thing.
Yep.
So I don't, you know, they count, but they don't count in my mind at the same time. So I don't know. I think the All-Star snubs are not surprising only because how often do you see a team in a small market that's below 500 get four All-Stars? Now, maybe they end up getting three with an alternate here at some point not in the next often. Couple of days. But very I bet rare. You very rarely.
I think Mikel might get an alternate spot.
He could, and he would deserve it if he does. You know, pitcher's tough. Anyway, there's not many bullpen arms.
There aren't that many All-Star spots, but Alex Bregman's got it.
I understand. Yeah.
Like, how many All-Stars did the Astros get?
Well, Hader is one of them.
Is it just those two?
Well, Bregman's on the Red Sox, remember?
Oh, no, that's right. I'm sorry. Yeah. Sorry.
You're talking about the Red Sox?
Yeah, how many
All-Stars?
How many Red Sox
well, Devers get? Didn't get on anybody's roster, and he obviously got traded, but he's not on anybody. He's not an All-Star.
How many Red Sox did the All-Stars get? That's what I want to know. Crochet, Bregman, and Chapman. Okay. All All-Stars.
Yeah, so they got three.
I get it. I just like, but yeah, but if it's three, it should have been three for the Royals. Not like Boston, some world-beating,
no.
Here they come, knock. But no, they got to be East Coast. And this goes back to, you know, the Whitteson stuff and all the other stuff we were talking about, obviously, in the show. But, like, the idea that, fine, if you want to say that Crochet or Chapman or so, you know, like, I'm not arguing every player. I'm not saying every Royals player deserves to be an All-Star. And I understand that they have been behind where people expected them to be this year. I just want it to be a reward for players who are having great years. That's all. That's all. And Carlos Estevez is having a career year for himself. He is second in the baseball in saves. And Mikel Garcia is also having a career year for himself and has had a better season than the guy who hasn't. Again, he just hasn't played in 6 weeks. What are we doing putting guys in the All-Star game who haven't played in 6 weeks?
I know. This happens all the time, though. This is not some new.
It was not just all fan voting.
Yes. The reserves are not fan voting at all, if I'm not mistaken, right? It's manager and Major League Baseball office and MLBPA, I think. And they want to market their biggest stars. And so, like, Julio Rodriguez, there's a case you can make that he shouldn't be in, but I'm not surprised he's in. You know? Because, again, it's not just offense. He's defensively, he was a Gold Glove finalist last year. He plays a pretty good defense as well. And Julio Rodriguez is still one of the big, you know, names in baseball. In terms of marketability, and baseball's trying to showcase those guys, and they'll be showcasing them in Atlanta next Tuesday night. I think that's the All-Star game.
You didn't went to one here. Have you been to any other All-Star?
Not at all. That's what we've been very fortunate to go to some pretty amazing events, Super Bowls, et cetera,
Bowls?
Final Four, et cetera,
World Series.
All-Star game is one of those I have not. So yeah, it's in Atlanta this year.
Okay, I didn't know. I didn't know if you'd been to an All-Star game before.
No, when I was in KC, I didn't get the chance to go. I was 2013, I was in college.
Oh, okay.
I wasn't doing media.
You could have come
full-time.
Back, you know?
I would have, yeah, we didn't have tickets or anything at the time. Yeah. So
we did the weekend pass.
Wait, the crown's adjustable?
Through the lottery. It's not adjustable.
Wait, I just saw you adjust
it. It's got a strap.
What?
But like, the strap
like Velcro.
Would go under your chin. You wouldn't wear it under your chin because I don't, look, I'll just be honest with you.
It doesn't
fit under
my chin.
Maybe your head is smaller than mine.
You look like one of the soldiers up front in front of one of the British soldiers.
It does not
soldiers.
Fit under my chin. So, you know, it doesn't work in that way. But yeah.
I just look, when your team's under 500 and you got such a bad offense, I'm not surprised.
I don't think we need to throw a fit about it.
They didn't get multiple All-Stars, or more than two, I should say. They got multiple All-Stars.
More, it's just the offense of, like, the stuff we started with, right? We were talking about the Whittisons and Bobby Wood Jr. not being
a starter. He just should be the starter. I mean, honestly, he just should be the starter.
Jacob Wilson should still be an All-Star.
Yeah. Bobby should be the starting shortstop for the American League. In Atlanta. Instead, he's going to come in probably, what, the third inning?
Yeah, but I guess that's, you know, what we're talking about. You're like, you know, they put in Alex Bregman because they want the stars. And I'm like, but we got Jacob Wilson starting at short? I'm like, come on. Like, we don't, you know, it should be both ways.
But he's going to be the American League Rookie of the Year, so they're trying to showcase him.
No, yeah, that's true. He's going to win.
That was, in fairness,
by the way,
that, was
all right
that was fan vote majority of
it's
that.
Both.
So
it's not just fan vote, right? It's a combination of the initial one.
Yeah, but phase one was fan vote. Then they got it down to phase two, which was between Jacob Wilson and Bobby.
Yeah.
And I believe Jacob Wilson had more votes during that, too.
What? 52 to 48.
Yeah.
We're changing that. Next year, if we run into this,
Whittisons.
The Whittisons are making it 52 to 48 the other way. Mm-hmm. We're 60-40. Bury his ass. Get Jacob Wilson off the ballot. Who knows? I mean, Bobby Wood Jr. is one of the best players in the sport. And again, I'm not like, I feel bad for Mikel and I feel bad for Estevez. But I'm not going to, this isn't one of those like, how dare yous, but it is. They were deserving. They were deserving All-Stars. But, like, I'm not saying that Bobby Wood Jr. and Chris Bubich weren't. By the way, we didn't spend a lot of time. Good for Chris Bubich. Had a disappointing start to his career. top thought of prospect, came through the system well, got to the big leagues in a normal time, struggled, wasn't the pitcher that people thought he was going to be, then suffered through a serious season-long injury and had to go through that, came back and was a part-time pitcher for time last year, recovering from the injury, and then in year one as a full-time starter, got himself to being an all-star. Tremendous accomplishment for him. Really cool that he'll get to be down in Atlanta. All of that stuff is, in my opinion, excellent news for Chris Bubich and very deserving. Really happy for him just in general because it's easy sometimes.
What a journey he's been on.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's what it is.
It's been a pretty amazing journey for him. And who knows? I don't know if he'll ever be an all-star again. If this is the type of season he's gonna have, you know, this is an unbelievable year for him. What's the second half going to bring? But he deserves the recognition that he's received. And, you know, this is part of the reason why we've talked about the pitching staff. The big reason why when they traded Brady Singer, obviously Jonathan India hasn't played the level they're hoping. But the reason why on the pitching end, you're not like, okay, whatever, no matter what Brady Singer's doing over there, is because Chris Bubich is pitching better than you could have ever imagined.
Yeah. I mean, again, the reason why they're even in it, as you mentioned, is because the pitching has continued to be competitive. It's been one of the best the first 2 months. Really competitive in June, and then they're off to, you know, hopefully another great start in July to go with it. I'm just going back through the team. Somebody's just like, when you play this way, you don't deserve it. I'm just saying one. I'm just surprised I didn't get one more. That's all. I'm going through all the teams. Tigers got four. Makes sense. Astros got three. Braves got three. Braves are one of the most disappointing, I don't know, years of any team right now. But, you know, like teams like the Cubs who are having a great year only got three. So I'm not, again, neither you and I are throwing a huge fit being like that. I just feel bad for Michael Garcia. I thought it should have gotten in over Alex Bregman. It's actually tougher for Estevez because those are the great closers. That's a tougher
spot. And there's only a handful. I mean, a lot of the starters are the relievers in the All-Star game. It's not like they're putting in middle relievers in the All-Star game. You got to be a closer or a starting pitcher. They're not really putting in anybody else.
Yeah. I was just looking at the other teams and trying to figure it out. Stupid Jazz Chisholm's in it. How do you feel about that?
That's a New York thing. His number, someone was comparing him to some other, like how he got in, who knows.
Well, his manager is also Aaron the manager Boone. Of the AL mm-hmm. team, correct?
So. Aaron Boone is, yeah. I believe that's right. Is that right or am I wrong on that? I think it's Aaron Boone.
I hope so, because I said it in our social media video, so I certainly hope so.
There you go.
I brought it up.
We'll have more details as the week continues on the launch of the Wittesons and Sunday's first event that we're having, which is that lookalike contest, and we'll let you guys know more about that. Up next is The Drive with one Jay Binkley. I wonder if he's leading with Joey Chestnut. We're going to all find that out together in a couple of minutes. Hope you guys have a good rest of your day.